Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the Memphis Grizzlies as the Western Conference homestand comes to an end. I just say that because it makes me feel warmer. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market is just for you. Digital app earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I don't consider myself like an athlete or whatever. I exercise because to stay alive, but you and I both.
I consider you an athlete when I see you in the hotel gyms.
You know what? I've had a sort of later in life renaissance where I try to get myself in shape because you didn't know me when I was a young fat guy for like most of my life.
But when I walk in, I think there works an athlete.
There's an athlete right there. I mean, you know, you put in work. Point being that we both had conversations that you try, right, at our age, you try, and then sometimes that cold just hits you, and that's it, right? Just shut it down.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why you're such an inspiration every time I walk through that door.
I can tell.
I just walk in there to get whatever the water they have in there, and then they have extra water bottles for free usually.
You know all the tricks.
All the tricks.
Your palatial suite isn't like stocked with, I assume, gift bags and whatnot. Everyone's Versace gift bags every time you go. All right, just for that.
Yeah, me
now
and Versace,
you're gonna have to,
we do a lot together.
Have to do real work now.
Anyway.
If the ball not going in makes losses look worse than they actually were or actually are, I imagined that the converse of that has to be true. So that is a crazy high-level Lakers team, obviously. And Monday was the biggest regular season win the Celtics have had over the Lakers in 56 years. Did any bloom come off it when you watched it over again in that context we discuss about make or miss or shots just happening to fall?
Well, I also believe that when you're really locked in, the ball tends to find the net on both ends of the court. Doesn't always mean that happens. You know, there have been plenty of examples of that. Sometimes you're, for whatever reason, you can play great for 48 minutes on defense and you just never find the bottom of the net. But I thought that we were really locked in. Obviously, the first couple minutes didn't go our way, but I thought everything else after that, we were playing together, doing the right things. And, you know, we figured out pretty quickly that shooting a layup over their 7'2" guys was not the right idea. And we needed to make sure we moved it to get the best shots we could. And then on the other end, we settled in, and I thought we played really hard. There's no question when you make 16 of 34 from three, you feel better about life.
Which brings me, it seemed like you were headed in this direction to mention the term. It was like this buzzword I had. From time to time, I like to do the Brad Stevens glossary
because
people hear you say something and not necessarily know what it means. Leading up to the Laker game, well, you do speak sometimes.
Is that an Indiana thing?
No, it is a hardcore basketball guy code that I think sometimes people don't understand. Leading up to the Laker game,
sweet.
And you just referenced it a little bit, you use the expression rim reads a lot.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say that?
What you do with the ball at the rim. One of my arguments back to our analytics department is not every layup is the same. And shooting a layup just because you're there doesn't mean it's easy and doesn't mean it ends up being a good shot for your team. You know, I think that if you get blocked at the rim, the chance of the other team going down and scoring is high because you've driven it in there. You're usually off balance. You're usually going off 1 foot. A lot of times you end up on the ground or floating out of bounds because your momentum takes you there. And then the block takes the ball and lets the other team run out on you. Blocks are really bad. Obviously, you don't want to miss at the rim. You want to try to draw fouls, which happens when you play off 2 feet and when you play strong, or you want to drive and kick. And we did both of those things. We played off 2 feet and played strong, and we drived and kicked. Or drove and kick as the game went along, and we got much better looks.
You have been, you know, effusive over the years about the guys that don't get to play 30 minutes every night, about being ready and how hard a job that is in the NBA. And when Shemmy has the game has the other night, I kind of made a note of it. And then just doing one of those deep dives out of my own curiosity, which starts with memory, and then you say, wait a minute, it seems a lot of guys like that, their minutes tend to go up and become bigger in games that are blowout games or in games maybe against teams sort of in the lower half of the league. Shemmy's minutes are highest against Milwaukee, against the Lakers, against Miami, against Denver, and you could figure out why with the personnel, but it almost is more impressive what he's doing considering when he is called upon, it seems to be against the elite of the league.
Well, here's the reality. We have a lot of guys that play roles around some of our better players, and we know what Shemmy brings to the table, right? We know that he's more than capable to make shots, and he's gotten better at driving closeouts. he'll play really hard, and defensively he'll always be in the right position. But then you play against some of these bigger bodies at the three and the four, you know, obviously Giannis and LeBron and people like that, and there's just so many guys that can match up with him. Now, we could play Jaylen on those guys for 40 minutes or Marcus Smart for 44 minutes or – you know, we started Gordon on LeBron the other day. But those are just to buy time a lot of times. And then we've got to buy some extra time. You can't – that's a lot to ask of somebody to guard some of those guys that long. And Shemmy gives you a lot of flexibility to be able to do that. I've just been really impressed with his approach all the way through, because it's not easy to not play the exact same amount of time every night. But I thought he gave us a lot in the last few times he's played.
Speaking of guys with good approaches, I think your sort of second phase here, I think, will always be remembered as the Isaiah time here, you know, the end of 2015, 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
And I hope that when time goes by that people don't forget how integral Jay Crowder was to that time.
Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Kelly O, like, you just go through the list. There's so many guys that made that team what it was. You know, obviously Marcus, you know, Isaiah, rightfully so, gets a lot of attention because he had just those incredible years. But all those guys were great compliments for Isaiah, and he was a great compliment for them. I could imagine some of the trash talk between those guys in open gyms or practice was just, you know, some of my favorite memories of being here. Those guys played so hard, and they did not accept losing on any night. And that's the thing that I will say, like, there was never a series of games where if we lost a couple in a row or if we lost three in a row, you knew we were going to bring it. Like, you knew we were going to get after it. Those guys were just ultra competitive, and Jay had a lot to do with that. I'm happy for Jay with all that he's achieved since, and it's not a big surprise to me that every team he's been on goes to the playoffs.
And he's a great guy to have in this room when, I mean, it's a shame there's no high-level young talent on this Memphis team. This is unbelievable. I mean, yeah. It really is. It's like a clown car of the elite 20-year-olds in the world right now.
Well, Morant, Jackson get a lot of the praise, rightfully so. I think they both have a chance to be special. Clark, really good. Brooks has had seven straight 20-point games. You know, this is a team that's going to be there for a long time. I really like what Taylor Jenkins has done. You know, he was a heck of an assistant for Bud the last few years. Everybody knew he was really good. And you can tell, you know, this is a thing that's going to be good for a long time.
What has he done? I ask it that way because I always find it interesting the first time you are coaching against somebody new.
It looks like Milwaukee, but with his own twists. They're playing a lot of five out. I mean, there will be times where they space Valanciunas to the corner and roll their fours, and kind of it looks like the Lopez thing. But there are other times where they really take advantage of their post-up opportunities with Jackson and Valanciunas. They'll do a little bit more switching throughout the game than maybe Milwaukee does, but they have so many different variations of lineups that they can go to. So you can see the blueprint of what he's experienced the last couple years with Bud, but you can also see a lot of his, you know, his own little tweaks and things that fit this group well. He's going to be obviously really good, and again, I think they're going to be good for a long time.
This is the NBA, so if you turn the ball over against anybody, you're going to be in trouble. But when that's the only, my takeaway watching the Grizzlies was, when you turn it over against them, it's like in the blink of an eye, they're gone.
Yeah, you got a good chance to be on SportsCenter if you turn it over against them. I mean, they're going to do something way above the rim that's, you know, you'd rather be on the other side of. But they're special athletically. They get their hands on a lot of balls. Ja Morant does, but I think that, you know, first couple years he was in the league, that was the best thing Tyus Jones did, was interrupt and disrupt. And then, you know, De'Anthony Melton adds to that too. So they got just a bunch of guards that are the head of the snake on it, and then everybody else is long and athletic and plays hard.
That's the head coach. I noticed you were with Abby today, and that's like the fourth different pregame interviewer in the last four or five games. What's going on with the TV side? They throw somebody different at you every time. I'd like to throw you off.
They said there's a brand new studio.
There is, yeah.
Somewhere out west.
In Needham, yeah.
Okay, in Needham. So, like, Scal doesn't hardly have to drive. He just goes out there.
So he doesn't feel like joining us.
He's probably going to be home by 9:30 or 9:15 minutes after the game, whatever time that is. You know, he's big-timing us.
He's one of the few that can control that. You could by getting kicked out, but the rest of us are kind of stuck. You have an out if things aren't going well. The rest of us,
I could get kicked out. And I think, in theory, everybody could get kicked out.
Some of us would really have to work at it.
I mean, you would have to work at it, but you you could probably say the wrong thing and get dismissed by halftime. We certainly don't want you to get kicked out because you run out onto the court or something like that.
I would say if anyone is could be teed off for doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing, it'd be Randy and Max. This would be the place to start. Celtics and Grizzlies next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.